piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Happy Thursday, moviegoers. Welcome to a brand new episode. Welcome to the Bone Collector, and welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined by the cast, the crew. Zach?
Hey.
How you doing?
Am I the only cast and crew today? I'm doing good. How about you, Johnny?
You know what? I'm not doing too bad. You know, life happens this week. Bear with us, everybody, because this week is a little different from most. If you're listening to us audio-wise, you're still listening to us on Monday nights and the week of October 24th. If you're watching us here on Imasawa Productions YouTube channel, happy Thursday. One day closer to that weekend. Zach, are you ready for the weekend?
I am. I got some couple things coming up. I'm actually going to see. I'll talk about it probably just depending on when you're going to hear us again. Probably on Halloween when we talk about Halloween 4. I'm seeing David Spade at the Criterion on Friday. And I'm going to OSU Homecoming this weekend. So
nice. You're going to the game?
I'm not going to the game. We're just going to go and just see the campus and everything.
Oh,
we
nice.
We haven't been since my friend graduated. So,
well, unfortunately, you know who they're playing this weekend, right, Zach?
Hey, listen. Just saying.
They're playing the University of Texas, and
yep.
I'm sorry, but I hope Texas ruins the homecoming for everybody. You know, well, honestly, in all good faith, you know, some bad stuff happened a few years ago at a other homecoming parade. So,
yeah.
Thoughts and prayers with everybody at Oklahoma State this weekend and at the parade. I hope, you know, everybody's safe, has fun, and hook 'em horns. That's all I got to say. But other
go Cowboys, go Cowboys is what I have to say. So
other than that, I'm excited for this week. I'm excited. You know what? It's still horror season. We're talking a mystery crime thriller. We're talking a little bit of Denzel. So I think today should be fun. This is exactly what we're talking about right here. The Bone Collector from 1999 is what you will be hearing us review and kind of talk about today. And some stuff is going to sound a little bit different, but other than that, we are still bringing you brand new content, a brand new podcast, and a brand new show here today. If you guys want to find us on the social media, hit up the social media at facebook.com/TheCinnamonMoviePodcast. The Instagram is all one word, the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And then you can find us on the Twitter at Cinnamon405. Or you can email us at CINEMEN921@gmail.com. We read the emails aloud after every single podcast, except we're not going to do it today because I've only had 2 days in between episodes.
Yeah.
So I have not got to go back through any of the emails. But at Halloween night, when we review Halloween 4, the return of Michael Myers, it'll be the return of a girthy email bag. I promise you that. Zach, are you thoughts still the same on Halloween Ends? It's still getting trashed very, very heavily.
I really don't understand the hate. I mean, I get it's not a perfect Halloween film. I mean, I understand why some people wouldn't even consider it a Halloween film, but damn, I mean, it is not that bad. Like I read a review that said, I thought the worst the reviewer said, I thought the worst trilogy ender was Jurassic World Dominion. And then Halloween Ends came out. I was like, no. That is like night and day,
that's
apples and oranges.
And that's big for you to say because you're a huge Jurassic Park fan.
Yeah. To put this in perspective with you guys, I bought Jurassic World Dominion. It's still saran wrapped. I've not even opened it yet.
So. Yeah, that's so. Honestly, I haven't bought anything in like 2 months, but the last two movies I did buy was Elvis and Jurassic World Dominion. And yeah. Where the Crawdads Sing.
I watched that. I'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Nice. Other than that, that's where you guys can find us on the social media. So I think it's going to be a fun, easy episode today. Other than that, man, I think you want to get ready to talk about the some movie news. Not a lot going on, but I do know I wanted to bring up the reaction to the trailer of Creed 3.
Yes.
Dude, I thought one was good. I thought two was better. I'm just excited for three. I think this could be the first trilogy where all three movies are to me at least, going to be really, really good. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the trailer, go check it out on YouTube. It's only one of the most popular trailers on YouTube right now.
Yeah.
Dude, Jonathan Majors looks insane.
Yeah, I'm glad. I think both of us would agree that Jonathan Majors is a good actor, but the way Michael B. Jordan, he's directing, this is directorial debut,
right,
and the way he's directed Jonathan Majors, he looks like a beast in this movie. He looks like a hard competitor that it's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, my only fear, because there's so much backstory to these two going on.
Yeah.
My only fear is that A, it gets rushed and you don't get a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
Or B, it's 2 hours and 45 minutes and it drags. If it is 2:45, I feel like it won't drag, but I feel like it won't get a big positive response.
Well, and I think a lot of it, and I think this is wrong to say, but I think this is going to be wrong just to put this on the film, but Stallone's not in it. This is going to be the first Rocky movie technically without Stallone. And I think, you know, this is a good opportunity to see. I don't know if this is going to, I think this is Michael B. Jordan's last outing as Creed. I think it depends on how he feels about the film and how it's received and everything. But this is a good opportunity to see if this franchise can live without Stallone. I mean, so
I think it can. I think it's a good spinoff series.
Yeah.
I
do have a theory. I just think that somewhere, you know, they're not going to come out and say it. I think Stallone has a cameo in the movie somewhere. I think
it's safe to say, I honestly think he's not in it.
If he's not, that's fine. I mean, yeah,
I think it's going to be good for him to not even be in this movie. And honestly, if this one rocks and makes a shit ton of money and has positive reviews, Michael B. Jordan should come back and do a Creed 4. And then, you know, or you know what, maybe this is the perfect ending and he has the perfect ending and he puts the character and the Creed story to rest.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm excited. Perfect trailer. It's one of the most excited trailers I've seen that made me hype for a movie in a while.
Yeah. And I like that. It gave a simple, this is someone from Creed's past. We don't really know what the connection is. We don't know what the beef is, but that's all you need to know. And I just hope that they don't do like a legacy thing. It's like, oh, it's like Clubber Lang's son or whatever. I just hope it's like its own drama and its own story, not connected to any of the other Rocky films.
Yeah, that would be nice. Not Shazam, but Black Adam is getting a lot of early mixed reviews.
Yeah,
but it's also like I heard like a breath of fresh air. So I don't know who to believe. With it being The Rock, I honestly do think it's probably going to be a decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of talk that Henry Cavill has his small 10-second appearance, and it's also going to be the first of three or four movies with Henry Cavill in it back in DC. But this is also like Craig sent me this link about Black Adam starts the new phase one of the DCEU. What do you think about that?
I don't know, man. I want this to be good. The trailers just haven't really impressed me. Right now, it's sitting at like 49% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.5 on IMDb, and 45% Metacritic. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's just going to depend on what you want this film to be and what you're thinking is going into it. I think the general consensus is like you said, it's a breath of fresh air. I think they say The Rock does really, really good in the film. He's very charismatic, but, you know, the story sucks, which is like the most with DC films.
I just hope I just want it to be fun, and don't worry about a phase or a universe right now.
Just make a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
But that's all I got for us for the movie news, unless there's anything you want to bring to the table.
Tulsa King, speaking of Stallone, where his new show on Paramount Plus that he filmed here in Oklahoma comes out here in a couple weeks on Paramount Plus. Did you see the new trailer to it?
I did not. I heard it looked pretty good though.
Yeah. It comes out the same night as the season 5 premiere of Yellowstone. I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to watch.
So are they both showing on Paramount Plus?
No. I think Yellowstone is on the Paramount Network, and Tulsa King is on Paramount Plus.
Dude, so, how
I don't know.
Big is Yellowstone, and how is Yellowstone not on
Paramount Plus?
Peacock. No,
yeah,
Peacock or how is Yellowstone not on network television?
I know. I don't understand it.
It baffles me. I know it's also, you know, downright gritty, and it needs to be on a streaming.
But I think they originally showed it on Spike, or
it was CBS.
It's not CBS. I think it was like Spike or whatever that channel was back in the day. They used to show it on there. Like, that's where it premiered.
Oh, okay.
And then it jumped to the Paramount Network. But it's like, it's such a big show now. It's on the level of like Breaking Bad and all those, that I just don't understand why it just move it to like, it's owned by MTV. Just put it on there where it's at least a little bit more accessible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
But where do you think season, I mean, we're talking a little bit of Yellowstone, you know, we're all caught up. Where do you think season 5 could go?
I think season 5.
You think this wouldn't be the finale? They would announce that it's going to be the finale, right? The series finale?
No, because this is an extended season. I think it originally is like 10 episodes. I think this is going to be like 15 or 18. Okay. So I don't think they would have came out. I think they would have came out and said that this was going to be the final season. I think this is like such a hot show right now that I don't want it to go like 8-10 seasons, but maybe do like
we're in six season or seven. 5.
Yeah, get to 6 or 7 and just call it.
Yeah.
If I had to theory, like fantasy book, I think we have to lose one of the Dutton kids in this one, whether it be Jamie. I don't think we're going to lose Beth, because Beth is such a pivotal character. And then
I would agree.
Who's the one that's married to what's her face? Hold on a second. Let me pull up the cast.
The son who's on the ranch.
Let's see. Casey. I don't think they'll kill Casey off.
I think they would kill the wife off before Casey.
Yeah. And I don't think they'll kill Rip. I wonder how many seasons. I know Kevin Costner is the face of the show, but I wonder how many seasons he'd be willing to go for.
Jeremy, I for one have never heard of the Bone Collector, so this should be fascinating. Interesting. Well, if you like psychological thrillers, movies like Silence of the Lambs, Seven, you know, this isn't too bad of a movie. We'll pick it up and talk about it. Yep. For sure. I think if anybody had to die as far as the kids go in Yellowstone season 5, I would pick Jamie. I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah.
I agree. So, yeah. But the year 1999, Zach, brought a lot of fun historical films.
Yeah. A lot of big movies.
We're going to talk the box office rewind. Zach is going to talk the top 10 grossing films of 1999, starting with number 10.
All right, so box office rewind. For 1999, starting off with number 10, The Blair Witch Project, which I'm surprised that's not really higher up in the list. Number 9, Runaway Bride. Number 8, Brendan Fraser's The Mummy, which he's having a kind of a surge right now, which I'm kind of excited for. Number 7, Johnny Big Daddy came in number 7. Number 6 is Tarzan, DC's Tarzan. Number 5 is The Matrix. Number 4, Toy Story 2. Number 3, Austin Powers, the Spy Who Shagged Me. Number 2, The Sixth Sense. And the number 1 box office highest grossing film for 1999?
Star Wars?
Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. You are right.
Well, let's get into some recent watches. It honestly has been, like I said, it's a short week this week for us. Here at the podcast, we just had an episode come out audio wise on Monday. We streamed on Sunday night. Talk about Halloween Ends. The only thing I really got to watch this week, I attended a live WWE event on Monday night. Nice. So that was fun. Here at the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City. The Ring 20th anniversary for a recent episode of Friday the 14th. And then the Bone Collector today about Denzel to talk about today's episode.
How is The Ring 20 years later? Does it still hold up?
Honestly, I talked about it last night on Friday the 14th, and I, because of it being a 2 hour long mystery horror movie, out of a 5-star rating, which we do on Friday the 14th, I gave it a 3. Mm-hmm. If I'm rating it on our show 1 out of 10, I think I'm going to get a 6.
Wow.
Yeah, I just, you know, a VHS tape that's haunted 20 years later just doesn't really make, really just really doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
There's some good horror scenes in the movie. You know, Naomi Watts was good, but I'm just like, it's fine. I don't see the whole cult following so many years later.
Yeah. I think I saw The Ring for the first time like maybe 5 years ago, and I mean, I would agree. I think it's an impressive movie, but I just don't think it's like the legacy of it is like this is the top 10 best horror films in the last 20 years or whatever.
I heard
The Ring 2 is awful, so I've not even seen that.
Yeah, shit. And then The Rings from 2016 with Johnny Galecki is shit.
Yeah, that one was terrible.
What about you though? Do you have anything that you'd recommend? If I had to recommend anything, honestly, I'm going to go back to Peacock, my recent watch from last week. Go check out I Love You, You Hate Me, the Barney documentary on Peacock.
What, yeah, I heard someone else talk about that, and they said it's, like, incredible.
It's good.
Recent watches for me, honestly, I meant, like you said, you mentioned you bought Where the Crawdads Sing. I read the book, and this is, like, one of those, like, big phenomenon books that like it's been on the New York Times bestseller list for the last like 2 years or whatever. The movie's fine. I think the two lead performances are actually what make the movie. I would say it's a really, the adaptation of it is actually spot on, but the drama works better on page than it does on screen. I'll say that. I'll give it like a 6. And then, other than that, I've just been going through my Denzel rewatch, getting ready for our episodes later this year. But checked out Unstoppable, Safe House, and highly recommend Fences again. That movie alone, the price of just watching it with Denzel, Viola, and the dialogue is just incredible.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. So. But speaking of the Bone Collector, Zach, you have some truth facts, some 4 facts that we did not know about the Bone Collector.
Yep. So in Jeffrey Deaver's novel, Thelma, who's played by Queen Latifah, was actually a man named Tom, T-H-O-M. Denzel Washington and Queen Latifah later appeared in remakes of the CBS series The Equalizer. One is better than the other, I'll just say that. When Amelia jumps into the river to rescue the old man and his granddaughter, she was actually Angelina Jolie was actually jumping in a heated pool. A vegetable dye was added to give the water its appearance. And director Philip Noyce is not a big fan of his work on this film. In the wake of Seven being released, every studio wanted a copycat serial killer on their books. He felt that he was just part of the assembly line by signing onto this film, knowing full well he would never be able to match David Fincher's achievement with Seven.
Mm.
So we'll talk about that.
Some good movies. And those are your truth facts, some things that we may not have known about The Bone Collector. But now it's time for our most favorite and sacred segment of the show. Let's talk top 5. All right, guys, and today we are talking our top 5 Angelina Jolie films. So if you guys like playing along, send us in your top 5 Angelina Jolie films. You can send them in anywhere right here on the social medias. Or you can just email them at cinemen921@gmail.com. But yeah, let's get into the top five. Zach, do you have any honorable mentions?
The Kung Fu Panda trilogy is just my honorable mention. So
I have three. I'll just go through them right quick. Bone Collector, which was my first time watch today. I thought she was good in that. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. And then my official honorable mention is going to be the original Tomb Raider.
Okay, nice.
So, Zach, let's go ahead and start with you. Number five.
Speaking of actually Yellowstone from Taylor Sheridan, Those Who Wish Me Dead came out last year. It was the same, or no, was it? No, it came out last year, or like June of last year. Had the same in theater HBO Max release, saw it at HBO Max. I thought Angelina was really good in it. I thought the mystery of like what's really going on kind of held my attention, and it's all like in the backdrop of like just a massive wildfire that's just consuming the entire forest. So I thought there was like a good timetable of her trying to rescue the kid from these assassins as literally all hell was breaking loose. So number five, Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Nice. Number five for me is going to be Salt from 2010. Hard to believe this movie is over 10 years old.
Yeah.
And man, some of the stuff she was doing in the early and mid 2000s was just phenomenal work, probably the best that she's done. But I think Salt is worthy of a top five for her performances and her movies, yeah. Especially if you're into those CIA Russian spy action thriller kind of movies. So interesting cast too. You know, Liv Schreiber's in there with her, as well as the guy who's in Black Panther, Doctor Strange.
Oh, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Salt is a fun movie, and you know, some of her thrillers I would not mind talking about one day, but that's number five for me is Salt from 2010. Number four for you?
Number four for me, I'm cheating a little bit just because she's not in the movie, but she directed it. Unbroken from 2014, the story of Louis Zamperini, who truly has an incredible story of he was an Olympian. He crashed in the Pacific. He enlisted in World War II in the military. He crashes in the middle of the ocean, was adrift for 47 days. He got sent to a POW camp. And like this guy's story is so unreal that some of you people wouldn't even believe it if you hadn't read the book or heard the stories about him. I thought Angelina Jolie did a very good job at directing the movie. And it's also from a script from the Coen brothers, which I thought was interesting. Starring Jack O'Connell and Domhnall Gleeson's in it, and just a very, very inspiring movie. So, and one of the few directorial films that I've seen her do. So,
nice. Number four for me is going to be the original Maleficent from 2014. A lot of people don't like these live action Disney stories. I think they did it perfect with Angelina Jolie playing Maleficent. I think Ellie Fanning did a terrific job. I really do like the cast. For some reason, these two movies feel very Tim Burton-ish.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's just a perfect dark Disney tale. It's not completely dark to where it's too bad for kids, but I would have liked to seen it a PG-13 maybe. But I am definitely excited to keep going with this Angelina Jolie list. I thought really long and hard about it, so I'm proud to see where we all line up with our Angelina Jolie film. But number four for me is Maleficent from 2014. Zach, number three for you?
Number three came out in 2008, and I truly, truly believe that she should have won the Oscar for Best Actress that year. She was so... I've never seen her performance as good as this. Number three is Changeling, directed by Clint Eastwood. Grief-stricken Christine Collins takes on the LAPD to her own detriment when they try to pass off an obvious imposter to her missing child. It's such a dark and like twisted film. It also has John Malkovich in it. It devastatingly breaks your heart, because once you get to the end of the film, it's kind of you really, really hope that this turns out to be a positive story. And unfortunately, and a little bit of a spoiler alert, it doesn't. And it's based off the, hold on 1 second. Let's see. It's based off like a true events about like the 19, there was a series of child killings in the 1920s that their bodies were never found. Like they're no one knows what really happened to them. And so it's kind of eerie and just kind of scary that, you know, I'm not a parent, Johnny, I know you are, but I mean, it's just kind of scary to know if your kid was kidnapped and you never saw him again. So.
Oh yeah. Honestly, since I've had a kid, movies like that are honestly kind of tough for me to watch. Even honestly, movies like sometimes, I know it's just a movie, but even sometimes movies like Pet Sematary.
Yeah.
You know, where the little boy runs after a ball and gets hit by the semi?
Yeah.
Rough shit. Number three for me, I'm going to go a little cheesiness, a little cheese, but I think they're fun together. They are obviously lovers at one point too. Number three for me is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We didn't review this, but we talked real, real heavily about it when we did our Brad Pitt month, I believe last year, yeah, or the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific cast, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Vince Vaughn, Keith David, Kerry Washington. I just think it's fun, man. And you know, some of these movies, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith doesn't get like high praise, but it's fun. It's action packed. It's funny. It's comedy. It's yep. available on Netflix. If you guys have not seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Brad Pitt's amazing. I give it an 8 out of 10. I completely enjoyed it, and I will. It's one of those movies now that since I've watched it, since doing the podcast, I don't know about you, Zang, but everything I watch in the last 4 years, I've completely had a whole new mindset when I watch it. But Mr. and Mrs. Smith is one of those movies I'm like, oh, you know what? I could possibly watch that right now, and I wouldn't like be bored with it. So no. Number three for me is Mr. and Mrs. Smith from 05.
Nice. Very nice. Number two for me, actually, she did these two films, quote unquote, back to back, but not exactly, but in the same year, 2008. Number two is Wanted with James McAvoy, Morgan Freeman, Common. Great. I remember seeing like the first trailer to this where like James McAvoy busts through the glass and starts like shooting up the place. I was so excited about it. The movie, I really haven't seen it in a couple years, but it's just one of those, like, it's so cool to watch it. And actually a very quote unquote unknown Chris is in it as well.
Chris who?
Great. Yeah. Which Chris are we talking about? It has some cool graphics. It has a cool story. The performances of McAvoy and Jolie are really good. I actually like to rewatch it here soon, but yeah, number two is Wanted. So
you're making me want to rewatch it. You also made me want to rewatch my number two. Number two for me, you said everything that we could say about it, especially about the director, Changeling, yeah, from 2008 is my number two. Terrific performance. Like I said, I think this was her one an opportunity to get that Oscar. Yeah, number two for me is Changeling from 08. Yeah. Awesome directing. Terrific storytelling, and just a good, solid, an artsy film, but it's put together very, very well.
Yeah.
I would like to see this on Criterion too.
Oh yeah, that would be a really good Criterion.
Yeah. So number two for me is Changeling from 08. Number one for you, Zach. Your favorite Angelina Jolie movie is
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. My number good one.
Nice.
Just a great action movie. I actually saw it in the trailer when it came out in 2005. Really, really fun movie. I don't care about the Aunt Jennifer Aniston, Jolie, Brad Pitt thing. That's just a effect that happened because of the film. But as a movie by itself, it's so much fun. Two great performances. They both really have good chemistry, obviously, because they fell in love. The action's really good. And it's just like kind of, it's just a fun, you know,
popcorn flick.
Yeah, you know, a husband and wife trying to kill each other. I think that happens every day here in America. So,
only in America. Number one for me, you mentioned it already as well. It's Wanted from 2008. I saw this movie in the theater, and I just had an absolute blast with it. 6 months later, this was one of my first ever Blu-ray purchases.
Oh.
Behind the Dark Knight. And I still have both of those original Blu-rays. So one, it has a very, very special place in my heart. I think it's a fun, fun movie. And you know what, Zach? January, we might be talking about some Wanted somewhere in January. So
I'd be down with that.
I think it's a tremendous movie, and it's just a lot of fun. So that, ladies and gentlemen, is our top five Angelina Jolie films. Please, by all means, send us in your top five Angelina Jolie films. She's somebody who I'm wanting to say we use this word sometimes too much, but she underrated. Do you think some of her movies now don't she don't get the hype like she used to, but she can still go. And some of those movies that we talked about are gems that nobody talks about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of looking at her filmography. I mean, she has, I guess the next thing that she has is Kung Fu Panda 2. I mean, Kung Fu Panda 4, which comes out in 2024. Eternals, she was definitely the best part of that movie. I'll say that. Those Who Wish Me Dead, Maleficent. I know, you know, like you said, you kind of said your piece on it. But she was all, you know, someone, you know, another film that she was good in, but it's kind of hindered by the fact that it's a CGI, is a Beowulf. She plays the mother in that. So,
yep.
So yeah, I think her name is associated by like gossip and tabloids and stuff. But I think when Angelina Jolie is locked in, she can be very good. So,
the director that we're talking about today is Philip Noyce. He's directed stuff like The Giver, a lot of TV shows. He directed Salt. He also directed Catch a Fire, The Bone Collector, The Saint with Val Kilmer, Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games, The Hitchhiker. So what about you? Do you have a favorite movie from him, or is it only The Bone Collector you might have seen?
I'm looking at his list, and I've seen The Bone Collector, Salt. I didn't know he directed The Giver. I haven't seen Above Suspicion, The Desperate Hour. Probably Salt and the film we're talking about today, The Bone Collector.
I wouldn't mind going back and checking out some of those Jack Ryan movies he directed with Harrison Ford. I think those might probably be favorites of mine if I just watched them. If I had to pick anything right now off the top of my head, I'd pick Salt as a favorite.
Yeah.
But today we are talking The Bone Collector, spooky season, crime, mystery, and Denzel all in one. A quadriplegic ex-homicide detective and his partner try to track down a serial killer who is terrorizing New York City. IMDb currently has it at 6.7. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 28%. The Metascore has it at 45%, while the Google users have it at 88%. The budget is at $48 million, and it's made a little over $152 million in the box office, starring Denzel Washington, Angelina Jolie, Queen Latifah, Michael Rooker, Luis Guzman, Leland Orser, and directed by Philip Noyce. Also, you got a little appearance in there by Ed O'Neill, which I thought was pretty fun. Zach, we'll start with you. It's only me and you. First time? Is this the first time watch for you? And if so, what was it like? If you could just put one word on it.
Yeah, first time watch for me. I'm kind of glad we got to mark this off my list because I'm just trying to get through as much as Denzel as I can before the end of the year. It was fun. If I had to pick a word for it, it was fun. We'll get into it. I'm glad this is not an overcomplicated film, and I think that it's definitely 90s. You know, we'll talk about that. But overall, it's a fun little thriller.
One word. I hate to use this word. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I would agree with that. I mean, I really didn't want to put it's fine. I didn't like it.
Same with me. I didn't want to say that I did not like it, but I think just thinking that I was getting ready to watch a classic homicide track down serial killer kind of film, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I think my biggest disappointment of the film, even though he gives a great performance and he's Denzel and he's maybe the best part of the movie, I wanted to see more physical Denzel. I wanted to see him out of the bed.
Yeah,
I didn't like him being a handicap or a quadriplegic. And of course, at the beginning of the movie, you see him in the accident.
Yeah.
But I wanted more physicality from Denzel. Not his fault, but
yeah. I mean, that's the character. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think I was kind of writing down some movies, and if you took Seven, which I think that's a huge, like, overarching theme in this film, Saw and Rear Window, you would have The Bone Collector, because I think that each of those films, The Bone Collector takes a little bit from, even though Saw was after this. I mean, you can definitely tell that there are like torture porn elements in this.
Yeah,
but I just think that the movie, when you start off with the credits, it's just like so 90s credits that it's just like, they're so 90s credits that you're just like, oh wow, this is like definitely a product of its time, where it's just like swift moving. It's kind of
feels like
it's trying to feel gritty in a way. It's just like
feels like a Moby music video open. Like, basically. Am I watching a Moby music video? What the hell is this? Oh, it's the opening to The Bone Collector.
Oh, exactly. I mean,
you know what? After watching this or The Fallen a few weeks ago, I mentioned it on my recent watches with John Goodman.
Yeah.
The Fallen with Denzel and John Goodman is more of a psychological horror thriller and a little bit more entertaining than this one. Okay. I just thought the title, The Bone Collector, just got done watching Dahmer when I picked this movie. I was like, I think this is going to be a good, a good psychological horror flick. I think, I think it'll, but it kind of threw me for a loop, honestly.
Well, and like the movies, this is rated R. Like, there's no way in today's standards, this is like PG-13, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing in this film with the exception of, I don't know, maybe who's the girl that gets the girl that gets trapped?
The
and
one
she gets
died.
Like, yeah, the one that gets oh Jesus Christ, the furnace, the furnace,
the granddaughter,
yeah,
the granddaughter.
Yeah. Where she gets furnaced to death, and it's like that's like the closest graphic thing in this film.
Is it me or does Michael Rooker play he's the exact same in every movie? He
is even like even in The Walking Dead, it's the same character. It's just like. I guess he's just like that persona.
Let me be the dick cop.
Exactly.
He's the same in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, like let me be this like asshole character that nobody likes, but somehow I'm liked because
but
I'm
he was good at this. I liked him in this a lot.
Yeah.
But
he's not. I feel like he's not in it that long. Honestly,
he's not. I think he's. Does it even show what happens to him?
I don't.
He just ends up disappearing.
I think he just ends up disappearing. Like, I know that he's always trying to get Denzel kicked off the case, and that's about like that's just like gimmick throughout the entire film.
Queen Latifah's character. Did you like any of the? I mean, I think her and Denzel have pretty good chemistry.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's one of those. She's an at-home nurse for him, and I kind of just wanted a little bit more out of the two.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's just when you're playing like a one note character like Queen Latifah is, she's the nurse, she's not going to be doing much. I'm kind of surprised that they, spoiler alert for past a 20 year old movie, but I mean, I'm surprised that they killed her off, to be honest. I kind of thought that she would be kind of in the climax of the battle, in the final fight at the end.
But you
she
didn't
just
really...
like she answers the door and she's gone.
Yeah. For it being a rated R movie, are you surprised to not see more deaths in the movie?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, I just don't feel like when I was looking at this film, I was like, oh, this is PG-13, and I saw that I was rated R, I was like, there's no way. I mean, what's in this movie that can be considered R rated? the language, I guess.
Maybe the language. And Angelina Jolie, to her credit, she and Denzel have some good chemistry in this movie too.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the flirtation of them finding love somewhere through this crazy ass movie and story?
I mean, I didn't personally see it, but I mean, it was, I like that it was kind of, I prefer more of the rookie is under the wing of the expert. I like that relationship, but I don't know how we really got to love by the end of the film.
But it was Ed O'Neill's character who brought her to Denzel, right? Or did Denzel request her?
I think Denzel requested her because she was like up and coming, and she heard that she was pretty good in the field, and that she was like his eyes and ears in the field, basically.
It only lasted one season, but did you ever check out Lincoln Rhyme, The Hunt for the Bone Collector in 2020?
No, I didn't know that there was a TV show like that.
It only lasted one season. But honestly, they got Russell Hornsby, who was in Fences. To play Lincoln. Yeah, he plays Lincoln in the movie. But yeah, I thought I'd bring that to the attention today.
I did not know that they turned this into a TV show. That's funny.
Yeah, it only lasted one season, unfortunately. You know, in 2020, everybody got a TV show.
Well, I mean, you know, in 2020, at that point, we just needed some entertainment.
Yeah.
So,
also around like a few years later or something, like I think what also along came a Spider came out.
I believe so. Let me look.
It came out in 2001.
Oh, so a couple years after.
But I do think, you know, the movie is kind of dark. It's tense. But I feel like the story is a little just lazy.
Well, and it doesn't. And I think that's sorry, my dog's in the background.
You're good.
I think the biggest problem with that is what the director said. It's basically a Seven ripoff. You know, I know this is based off a book and everything, but it's like you could clearly tell that they were so motivated by Seven that it tries to be gritty, it tries to be graphic, it tries to be I don't even remember what was the doctor's or the killer's motive. Do you honestly know what it is?
Yeah, it was Lincoln had written something or pointed something out years prior.
Oh, that's right.
And it sent Richard Thompson to prison. And he was like, "Do you know what they do to ex-cops in prisons?" And he was like, "I was basically a human toilet." So that was his motive to killing these people to try to get to Denzel.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that now because he was like so pissed off that he was basically found the fraud and everything. And he like, but the thing is like his character, which I guess makes sense. His character shows up at the beginning of the film. And I don't think you really see him anytime else until the reveal at the end.
Yeah. And I even think the reveal at the end was kind of a letdown.
Yeah. I would agree with that because you're expecting kind of like a big jump, like it was Michael Rooker or hell, even Angelina Jolie or someone that was close to him, but it was
I knew it wasn't going to be Michael Rooker because, and again, this was a first time watch for me as well. And this is a movie that, again, like you, Zach, I wanted to get it off my bucket list. Because mm-hmm. not only is it a popular Denzel movie, but it's, you know, when you hear The Bone Collector, you're like, oh, I remember that movie. Everybody remembers this for some reason. But I'm like, how did I never, ever watch it till today?
Yeah. I would agree.
But I knew from the get-go that it wasn't Michael Rooker because of how much of an asshole-ish person they made him portray.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's too obvious it's not him. And I was like, honestly, it's not Ed O'Neill because I think he's just too goofy of a looking motherfucker for them that they picked. Honestly, nothing against him. He's funny. But like if it would have been him after they selected him as the actor to play the serial killer, I would have turned this movie pure off. Yeah. So to me, honestly, I did not know who it was. I honestly thought it was Detective Kenny Solomon. For a little bit, I thought it was him. The cool slick back guy played by Michael McGlone.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was him. Yeah, I thought it was him for the longest time. I definitely knew it wasn't Eddie. If it was Luis Guzman, oh my God, I would have probably turned this son of a bitch off too. I did, and I knew it wasn't going to be Angelina Jolie. I thought they might have gone a little Misery and maybe put it on Queen Latifah.
But, oh, yeah.
But they didn't go that route. So the reveal at the end about it being Richard was a little bit of a letdown. Not that it was the character himself, mm-hmm. but I was more of upset because it was like just a mutual conversation. Like he literally had enough time to tell him what and why it was his motive to do what he did mm-hmm. before Denzel even thought about, you know, or not before he thought about, you know, getting the phone. But I'm like, you're spending this much time on dialogue from him to really explain himself to Denzel.
Exactly. And some of it just doesn't, I'm not going to say it doesn't make sense, but it just doesn't add up, basically.
A lot of plot holes.
Yeah. And something else I will say that I liked about this is that there's kind of a ticking time clock with Denzel's character where it happens twice in the movie where he has these like powerful seizures, and because of his injury, because he's a paraplegic or quadriplegic, he runs the risk of going into a vegetative state because he's just like, he's pushing his body too much to try to be normal, and he's just not. Yeah. And there's also Thelma tells Amelia that he plans to euthanize himself for the fear of not going into that state. And I thought, I don't think we needed the euthanasians, like that idea, but I just like the ticking time bomb of, is this next seizure going to put Denzel in a vegetative state that Amelia or Angelina Jolie's character is going to have to figure out the rest of the crime.
Yeah. I didn't think it was going to go that route. I did think it was maybe going to, you know, I thought maybe he would pass away after he had solved the crime. Like the crime got so much into him that he ended up passing away.
Yeah.
But it didn't go that route either. There was a few minutes where Angelina Jolie was missing in action. And I guess that's probably where you might think that she could be the killer. But what did you think of her being Detective Amelia in this? I thought she did a pretty good job. I liked her.
Yeah, I thought she did good. I thought she held her own. I think this is like one of her first big roles, before actually hitting the stardom. Like
before Tomb Raider.
Yeah, before Tomb Raider. And so I think she falls under the, let me see where this is at. This is 99. So she's done little things. This is kind of her big breakout role. And then the next year was Gone in 60 Seconds and Tomb Raider was after that. So it's kind of, this is like, I'm here, but not really like known. And then Gone in 60 Seconds kind of catapulted her into stardom.
I did like how this movie does have some pretty good, creepy, intense moments with her finding the bones and her finding like her pretty much going in the suit and doing what Denzel usually does.
Yes.
And I, you know, those are some fun, interesting scenes. I also do like the score. I thought the score was a little creepy. Mm-hmm. But you know,
when she goes down there and like the girl gets steamed to death, like, and Denzel's kind of talking to her, is like, hey, you have to be strong. You have to go down there and get the evidence. Otherwise, we're going to be walking in circles. You have to do it. And I liked her. I liked her performance of just, you know, I don't think she's really gotten that close to that type of dead body before.
Right.
And then probably one of the other awesome scenes is the guy that gets killed by the rats. Like, I think he doesn't like the rats like eat through him, or he just gets covered in him and they just start eating him alive or something like that.
Yeah, that was a pretty gruesome scene. So that scene, going back to the granddaughter, the scene where she did have like her a piece of her forearm missing, that was pretty gross. That was pretty gross. I did end up reading that that's why all that stuff was rated R. It's rated R for mostly gore.
Wow.
So
the not gore that we think of, you know, when you're going to do an R-rated film, it's kind of like a weird, I don't know. I think he could have gotten away with a hard PG-13 and not done R, my opinion.
Yeah. I guess $152 million though in 99. That's quite a bit of money.
A lot of money. Yeah. And by the way, going back to Box Office Rewind, this movie ended up like in 34th place in 1999. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
And
Denzel did this between, he did The Siege the year prior to this, and then after this was The Hurricane. So,
you know, those are two movies I'm getting ready to watch because I'm going in timeline wise.
Okay.
So I'm getting ready to watch The Siege, which I watched the trailer for the first time yesterday, and The Siege looks like a pretty intense thriller. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of Enemy of the State, the trailer.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah, and it's got Bruce Willis in it. And then The Hurricane is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that one.
I don't know if I brought it up last week, but I watched He Got Game.
Oh, really?
Did I bring that up last week?
I don't think so.
But
what
did
you think about it?
He Got Game is tremendous. I'd give it 10 stars. Ray Allen plays Denzel's son. I thought
Spike Lee joint.
Spike Lee. But yeah. The Bone Collector, what'd you think of the final ending where he ends up being like in a wheelchair and he's literally, I think he's what, and he's ended up being just paralyzed from the waist down, right? Or the chest down?
I think so. And they find love.
Yeah.
it's a very 90s thing to do where it's kind of like the impracticalities of it. It's just like, they don't really add up. But it's just, you kind of just go with it because it's the 90s.
You know, that's true, though. I mean, even in today's society, that L word can find you and hit you at any time that you're not looking for it.
Exactly.
What favorite scene, man? I think we did, you know, we talked the Bone Collector for a movie that's over 20 years old. Not too much to put to it. It's, like you said, a simple story to get along with. What do you think? Do you have a favorite scene that you want to maybe mention?
The rat scene was really good. The actual reveal of the Bone Collector, like where the killer got his idea, where Angelina Jolie is just kind of going through the books, and it's kind of like based off a series of like poems or essays back in the day. I thought that was kind of cool. And kind of just Denzel just kind of leading Angelina or Amelia along to different cases and just kind of just tell me what you see, describe the scene. Is there any evidence that could like point us in the right direction? I thought that was kind of the nuggets of the film, I guess you could say.
The nugget. Okay. I like that word. Honestly, if I had to pick a favorite scene, I would probably pick, I like the scene where the granddaughter is revealed and Angelina Jolie's picking up the stuff around her. Pretty grotesque. The rat scene is a pretty fun scene. Mm-hmm. Again, the movie's not bad. It's definitely got horror elements of scenes around it. It definitely gives you some certain, hey, are they looking for like a Jeffrey Dahmer motherfucker?
Yeah.
The ending reveal of who the Bone Collector is, again, it's not my favorite. I think it was a little... It didn't build up like I wanted it to. Yeah. I did enjoy when he got his hand crushed from the bed. I thought that was a smart scene.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably what I would give it right now, honestly. I think those would probably be my favorite scenes.
Okay.
So what about you? Do you think there's anything that we should probably touch? Or you can't really – I don't think this film is a – you had to get it from the library, correct?
Yeah. It's not streaming anywhere, which is – kind of surprising. It's just, you know, it's just one of those movies that, you know, I've heard when you hear Denzel, it's like one of his, like,
it's a different,
yeah, it's like quote unquote one of his like audience adored films, I guess you could say. It's not, obviously it's not critically received well, but I don't know, man, I was just kind of like, I wasn't disappointed by it, but I was just like, it's fine, you know. I just don't understand why people like this movie so much.
Yeah,
I don't understand why it's like at 28%. I don't think it's like that bad of a movie.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Well, again, let's get ready to give our star rating for The Bone Collector. You guys can give your star ratings too at, again, hit us up on the social media, facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, DMs on the Instagram, The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, Twitter at cinnamon405. Check us out on the email. The email is cinemen921@gmail.com, and we'll read the emails on Halloween night next Monday. Right here on the podcast, we review Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Zach, 1 out of 10. I'm going to give this movie a 5.
Oh. All right. You're going to give it a 5?
I'm going to give it a 5, just solely based on the ending was kind of a letdown. I wanted to see more Denzel physicality, and I don't think I'm ever going to want to pick this up again soon. Yeah. And you know, with me, it's all about rewatchability. So
yeah, I agree. I'm going to give this. I had this at a 7, but the more I talked about it, I'm just like, yeah, it's really it is kind of like the epitome of it's fine territory. It's not a 5. It's a 6. It's one of the Denzel's movies that I'll never ever rewatch, truthfully. You know, I could think of like 20 other films I'd rather watch before this. So.
And again, he's not bad in it.
No. He definitely saved. If this week he wasn't in it, it'd be like, oh, this would be a 5 or a 4.
But I am glad that I picked it up just to not only own it, but I'm glad that I did give it a shot to watch. And for it to turn into an episode, the hell with me, right?
Hey, I made it work. You made Denzel into horror season. So
yeah. So, but no, I think it was a fun first watch. Again, I don't think I'll ever pick it up again. Hence why I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah.
So, man,
I would agree.
You know, we started the year off with a tragedy, Macbeth. Every month we've been talking at least one Denzel movie. Next month we're talking 3 Denzel movies in the month of November. Kicking it off with the Magnificent 7 on November the 7th.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You couldn't help pass that up, could you?
Yeah. Oh no. Ending the year with Denzel, man. I think it's going to be a fun episode, and can you believe it's the first top 5 plus 5 show that we've had since March.
Is that true? We haven't done one the rest of the year until the end.
Nope, we only had 2 of them.
Wow. I guess the next one after that won't be until our best March of 2022 episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Which I'm glad. We're kind of spacing those out. We're not doing like one every month because, you know, we can get tired of them real quick.
Yeah. I think it's fun. But I think if anybody deserves this whole year kind of like themed around them, I think it's Denzel. I think it's going to be fun talking about him for a whole month.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other thing that we're doing in November is Black Panther, and other than that,
and Black Panther is also, if it was up to me, I kind of don't want to talk Black Panther.
Just do literally a whole month of Denzel.
Yeah. But who knows? Other than that, anything else you want to add to The Bone Collector? Or you ready for Halloween night, Monday, October 31st? We're going to review Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Yeah, I've already watched it. That was quite interesting. So that'll be an interesting conversation.
And you know, I thought we talked Season of the Witch last year, but it's been 2 years since we talked Season of the Witch.
Yeah, because last year we talked Kills.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So
wow, it's been 2 years since we talked that.
Yeah.
That awfulness, yeah.
So hopefully Halloween 4 left a better taste in your mouth than Season of the Witch.
Yeah,
where did you,
it did.
Where did,
I'll just
where
say
did,
that.
Where did you get to watch it at? Where'd you, so any of the listeners,
I,
you, did you have to get, pick it up at the library?
Rent yeah, it? I had to rent it from the library because there was nowhere, it's not streaming anywhere. So, which I'm kind of surprised by just because of the new Halloween and it's just horror season.
Yeah. Well, anything you want to add to the Bone Collector, or are you ready for Halloween night?
Let's just get to Halloween night. It's hard to believe that we're we're already at the end of October. That's just crazy to me.
End of October, Halloween 4, Monday, October 31st, Halloween night, Monday, November the 7th, The Magnificent Seven. But this has been a fun episode. That was Zach. I'm Juan. We talked The Bone Collector. Go check it out. I believe it's on Hulu, premium subscription. So go check out The Bone Collector, and we'll talk to you guys next Monday right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.